Well, hi everyone. Welcome to all of those that have joined us today. We've gathered a great group of Dynamics, Microsoft Dynamics CRM MVPs to talk about the latest Dynamics CRM release and to respond to your questions. So let's just jump right in and get started. I wanted to start today with a quick introduction. My name is Donna Edwards. And I work for Hitachi Solutions as an architect. I'll be hosting and moderating the session today. If you have any questions, feel free to type them into the question option available to you, and we'll be sure to address them. Chris.
Hi, thanks, Donna. Thanks for having us. Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Cognetta. I work for TriBridge, and I'm the director for the Center of Excellence, also responsible for the client field engineering team. And I'm one of the senior architects on board at TriBridge.
Hey, Shan.
Sorry, I was on mute there. Yes, Shan MacArthur from ADX Studio. I'm an ISV here and CEO and CTO of ADX Studio. We build portals for CRM.
And Alex.
Good afternoon, everybody. Alex Rubendas with PowerObjects, CIO. Been a CRM MVP for the past 5 years and been working with CRM for the past nine, almost a decade.
Terrific. So for those joining us in the audience, we're covering all aspects of the new release today. And the expertise that we have on the panel is quite broad. We have, of course, Shan, who has a very strong development and release management background. Alex is specialties are infrastructure, deployment, and Chris Cognetta with ADFS. And all of us are strong functionally, so feel free to present whatever questions you have, and I'm sure we'll be able to give you a response that will address your needs. So what I wanted to get started with today is I want to talk a little bit about the new naming convention that the Microsoft product team is using. In the past, we've seen some changes occur over the years with regard to the nomenclature that's used to name the new versions, the releases, the service packs, hot fixes, and I think now Microsoft has settled on a good naming convention, and I think it's going to clear up a lot of confusion that's been present in the community in the past. What are your thoughts on that?
So this is Shan. So my thoughts are that I'm really happy that we have a very clear definition between major, minor, and update rollup as a part of the version number, but also that it's getting a little closer to the naming convention as well. But personally, I just now start to call CRM just by the version numbers, so like 7.1.0 or 7.0.3. I'm tending to not use the marketing names anymore and just go by the version number, and I'm finding a lot less confusion if I use just the number.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Shan as well. It's a big difference as far as what we used to look at in the past, trying to figure out what the update rollups did, what were the changes, how to keep on top, what solution it was in. I think that this is really going to help us in the longevity of the app, maintenance and support, et cetera.
I absolutely agree with you, and I agree with specifically what Shan said. As I'm finding myself also now using the version number more than the name itself. So, you know, the 7.0.1 as more hotfix cumulative, kind of wrapped up hotfix related, a minor release, and the 7.1, which we know now as the 2015 spring release, is the major feature release for the year. So I agree. I think it's gonna become, you know, a lot easier for people to understand and follow. So this release, let's talk about this release. This release has more features, obviously, than we can cover in an hour. But what I want to try to do is cover as much as we can. And I thought what we could start out with is I want to hear from you guys about what your favorite features are in the release.
Wow, that's going to be hard.
There's a lot, isn't there, Chris?
There's a lot. I find we're constantly taking certification tests and looking through, and the changes, I don't think people realize the amount of changes in between these releases, and the functionality that's been added is just amazing. So, you know, hats off to the Microsoft team for delivering on the promises. And speaking of promises, I guess that would be my best feature is the new navigation, the ability to really take CRM to the next level. You know, with 2011, we had a different navigation style. There was a lot of gripes when 2013 came out with the scrolling and not being able to do that. But now with the new drop-down capabilities for the work area, XRM type of application is much more at home in the CRM real estate, and it's also much more from a customer experience perspective and adoption. So users have the ability to click faster, not have to scroll all the way down to the right. That combined with the newly with the records, recently used records, a lot of times you're like, hey, I get a phone call and you go back to another item. Here it is. I can pick that up. Makes it really easy to navigate across the app. And I think this is just the start of some of the changes that we're going to see. So really, really happy about that. And our customers are really enjoying it.
All right. So favorite features. And there's a Service Pack 1 actually more features than expected and a lot of really good ones. So I'm actually going to have two favorite ones. The first one's a little one, but it's the ability to do themes in CRM. This is something ever since I began working with CRM, folks have been asking for. Hey, can I change the background? Can I add my own logo? And the answer had always been no, or if you're on-prem, you can do it, but it's not a supported customizations. We now have the ability to create a theme in CRM, upload your own logo, and then change a number of the colors. So we have a couple of our CRM lines, and they look actually very different, even though it's just adding a logo, and then changing about 7 or 8 different colors. You can make CRM look really, really different. So that's my number one. And then my number two is something called folder tracking, which when we first heard about it, I thought, might be kind of neat. But I did a CRM UG presentation a couple weeks ago, so I actually dug into this feature really well. And what it is the ability to create folders in your inbox, and then via server-side sync, be able to specify, hey, items in this folder, go ahead and track in CRM related to account A, or items in this other folder, track in CRM related to my opportunity or my project, or simply track in CRM. But it's a server-side sync tracking. So now I can specify emails to be tracked in CRM from a mobile device, from any phone, from the web interface. We don't rely on the Outlook CRM clients. And the more I played with it, the more I saw how flexible it is. And for a number of our clients, I can see this being a really, really neat feature. So those are my two out of all the new features.
Mr. Shan, I'm going to reiterate one and give you my favorite, and then give you one that's not a feature, but that's also a very favorite of mine. So the one feature that I love the most is what Chris has already brought up, is the new navigation. I find that CRM is really refreshing to use now with the new navigation. It's much more productive, and I'm a lot less frustrated with it, and I'm really happy with that. But I think my real favorite features are all in the SDK. So the new upsert capabilities, the ability to either insert or update in a single call and not have to do queries and then if then else's and then create or an update, that definitely makes the ALM story a little easier. But it makes a lot of integration code great. It also has assign and set state via the update. So you no longer have to call secondary service calls in order to do an assign or a set state to change change those two properties. And CRM also added some different changes on the behavior for the date fields in the SDK. So you can actually have date only now. And then as well as the ability to have external keys, which really makes CRM easy to integrate with the other applications. But wrapping all of that in, and this is the most important part of the SDK, is CRM now can have transactions at the SDK level. So you can start a transaction, do many multiple operations, and either commit or roll them back. And that really, to me, makes CRM upgrade to the really be an enterprise class application platform. And the feature that's not a feature that really is my favorite, it's also the one I hate the most. As an ISV, I always like to ship the same on-prem and online, and we do all our dev on-prem and deployed online, so I don't really appreciate that Crean is only available in online. But on the flip side of that, I do appreciate it's available online, because now Microsoft can fix it really quickly, and they're already rolled out this to the preview programs and some of the early adopters. And there are some bugs, and you know what? They're going to fix it in the next week, and be a couple of different updates as well. So in the past, we would have had to wait for an update roll-up, and it could have taken 2 to 4 months to get that first update roll-up out. So I'm really happy that Microsoft's going to be very agile in fixing bugs and improving the product now that they're into online.
Yeah, that is a great point, Shan, that we don't have to just wait so long for an update roll-up, since it's all online and they can move more quickly to address those.
Yeah, that was
issues.
A great, excellent point there, Shannon. And also, for those of you who don't know, the CRM Online actual software release is different than the on-premise release. So you're not going to see these bits in the functionality in regards to the spring wave till sometime in December. So that's also made a challenge for people saying, well, I thought I was getting 2015. What am I going to get? There are some changes that you're not going to see.
Good point. So one of the things that I think just jumps out at everybody, and I see it all over the internet too, is the changes to the navigation. So when we went from 2011 to 2013, the navigation was very challenging. And it stayed that way, as we went from 2013 to 2015. But now we've seen a really great change in the navigation. And I know the MVPs, were able to provide some input there. And I think we had some great sessions on that as well. So we have things now like the navigation bar, where things drop down and most recently used, and then the form navigation. I know that there are specific things about those features that you really enjoy, and I'd like to, hear more about that and have you share your experience with that and how you think, customers and clients are going to be able to use that more effectively than the way the navigation was previously designed.
Yeah. It's interesting, Donna, is that when the CRM 2013 release came out, it was winning awards for the overall sales process flow, and, a lot of people forgot about that stuff, right? Because, we're into using CRM as a platform, a development platform where you have your screens, you have your database, and you have your security model, and we're so much into extending it that we kind of sometimes forget about what CRM normally does, right? And these small changes now really impact our teams as far as from an ISV perspective, from adding our own applications like Offender 360, things like that. Those are all applications that have hundreds and hundreds of entities. They're doing all kinds of work. So the more that we can make that easier and solve the user adoption problem with the interface, that's made a big change for us. The pinning, the release when we use records, as we spoke about. You mentioned the form navigation. I don't know if a lot of people know, on the right-hand side of the account, like on the account screen, you can see the name. You have a little button there you can click, and you get, you can move and navigate right on the page. And the more clicks that we take out of the system, I think, we keep designing towards that, looking at less clicks, less white space. Shannon and I are always beating them up about, how much can we take for the screen? We want to leverage our 22-inch monitors, and we want to leverage touch and with labels and all that kind of stuff. Alex mentioned the theming. All of these things are providing that complete experience. And remember, that experience is now flowing across all the devices as well. So we're seeing it in the mobile side. We're seeing it on the Outlook client, And, as the new integration comes, we didn't talk about the OneNote integration yet or some of that stuff, but all of that is making an impact into the overall usability model.
That's true. I mean, especially what you said with regard to the navigation for ISVs, because I know that that was very painful for people like you, Chris, and Alex, where you know, your entities were all showing up to the right and people had to scroll a lot.
Yep, there were some good conversations about that at a few MVP summits, as I recall. I think, you know, the scrolling being removed, so to speak, now, and the ability to click down. Another thing is when that bar pops down, you can actually move around on it. It doesn't just fly back up, which is really nice, too. It gives you some time. You're not trying to fight, you know, hey, can I click on it type of thing. So I think a lot of users are going to find the new interface. And it's not a new interface. It's a revised, revamped interface. I think what we have and what you see there is going to be the interface for a while. I kind of think, and this is just my viewpoint, I think the CRM system itself, as far as the interface and the overall how we work in it, it's hit a plateau, right? And that it does the job we need to do, and we're going to find little tweaks and things like that. But I see it like an ERP system where GP and AX, those interfaces have been very similar for many years. And I think the trend is going to be to stay within this design as you also see it be deployed against Dynamics Marketing, social engagement, all those pieces are all using that and leveraging that interface. So it's all good news for us.
Agree. Shan, I think you had some thoughts you wanted to share.
Well, actually, I just realized also that I forgot two of the other important pieces of the SDK improvements as well. So one of those is optimistic concurrency. So this makes it easier for us to build an application that we're doing an update, and if the record has been changed by another thread or another user or another process in the background, the optimistic concurrency will identify those conflicts and allow us to productively handle those. As well as when you're building integration applications, one of the difficult things to worry about in CRM is how do you get the changes of the records that have been changed since you last synced. So now they actually have embedded change tracking in there. So they're actually, you know, doing SQL change tracking at that level, and you can call new SDK calls to actually get the changes since you've last done that update. So that's really effective at building synchronization systems to CRM. And there's a little piece of one of my favorite things I've been asking for a long time is, you know, they started off giving us some custom actions, which are sort of fancy workflows, but don't necessarily have to be tied to an entity either. So it can be an action that's just an action. And but we've never been able to call them from the UI. We've always had to write code to call them. But right now, you actually can call those custom actions now from a workflow. So without any code, you can now write some reusable actions that will work across multiple different types of entities.
There have been some amazing platform changes in this particular release, Shan. That's what you're speaking to. And I know that there's been a lot of excitement over the upcert, the ability to do upcerts now. And also, aren't there enhancements to plugin tracing as well?
I haven't used those, but yes, there are some enhancements into plugin tracing. I don't usually have to do that level of plugin tracing. Our plugins are a little more simplified than that. We were able to use the old tracing platform fairly well. But yeah, no, they have made some improvements on that, and they're also making improvements in a lot of the dev tools. I like not necessarily just what they ship now, but their vision for what they're planning on shipping. I could expect we're going to have some pretty mature tools over time. Their tools for packaging applications and data are improving, and they're getting ready for marketplace. And for me, the biggest excitement of the spring isn't necessarily what they ship this spring, but what they said they're committing to ship and what they're committing are for priorities. And I really have high confidence in the team. And the management there, as far as the roadmap, is just incredible. It was music to my ears when Bob went up and Jujhar went up and they said they're going to ship an XRM product. So it's no longer just a consequence of being a configurable CRM, but XRM is going to be a product into itself. And I'm just really excited about seeing where that's going to go and where that's going to take us.
Yeah, I agree, Shan. I mean, those points are dead on. When you look at where CRM started to where we are now and the things that we have and how much it's changed, you really, you know, need to take a step back and breathe, right? And you look at all the change in adoption, right? How do we deal with this change? How fast is it going to impact our customer base? How fast can they deploy it and learn it and deal with the new changes? So I think it's all good problems to have. Change is nice, and we welcome it.
It's been nice to see what the product team has really been opening the kimono and giving us great roadmaps and really high quality conversations. They're coming out to all the conferences and letting people know what they think. And that's a change than from what we've seen when the new team started. They would rather, you know, over impress and under promise and wanted to keep things really tight. But now they're really, you know, going full disclosure, and it's really nice to have those types of conversations with them and see where they're going. And I think it really reinvigorates our partners and our customers and makes everyone really excited to see what's coming next.
Yeah, and they continue to make online more like on-prem, right? They continue to add feature set to online to help on-prem. You know, you have the capabilities of, you know, we've released the sandboxing capabilities where you can, you know, copy your system over, run your tests, upgrade, do that kind of thing. In the past, you know, it was not possible. You were trying to migrate your data over, build a new environment. Now it's a press of a button. Soon you're going to have other things that are going to come out that are going to be more like on-prem. So, and we all benefit from that, even though it's first happening in the cloud. Those technologies and what's happening will certainly show up on-premise.
Mm-hmm.
So, Alex, I'm interested. Have you had an opportunity, or any people on your team had an opportunity to try out the new plugin tracing features?
Yeah. Hey, guys. So a little bit. So I myself have only seen a couple of screenshots, but the feedback we got is that it's one more tool set, one more item that makes it easier for debugging, that allows us to turn on and now via the GUI go to this tracing area and look at the logs. Like, you know, Shem mentioned, we typically do a lot of our debugging on-prem. So something that's even in the past, we haven't done a lot of debugging in CRM Online, since you don't have access to the, you know, many VMs and many orgs on-prem. But you know, for the folks that really don't have an on-prem environment and do all development in CRM Online, I think it would be a, you know, very nice feature.
Yeah. There's also a category of improvements that Microsoft really isn't very loud on, and that would be performance, where in CRM Online particularly, they're sort of like using a CDN approach that the rest of the web world would know about. But basically, what they're doing is they're pushing a lot of the media and a lot of big files out to their edge network, which really is the extremities of their global networks closest to the customers. So that helps speed up the responsiveness of CRM online particularly, as well as they went to this new feature, which we can't call TurboForms, but which is called TurboForms. But basically, they've come up with a new way of loading forms, and they're keeping the compatibility there by allowing you to turn that off in case you do have some problems with some scripts and stuff like that. But I found with some slight changes to our product, it was easy to support the new TurboForms. And the TurboForms definitely do load faster for a lot of, especially particularly the more complicated forms. So I'm happy to see the performance of the UI improve a bit as well.
Yeah, and you know, CRM Online performance is continuing to get better from what Shannon's perspective and mine is. You know, a lot of customers between the different versions. There's the form analyzer as well for performance. There's a performance center that you can go in, and you know, there's a lot of different tools that are out there. It's amazing how much is happening behind the scene at the platform level to support CRM. So they're keeping us on our toes for sure, trying to learn all that stuff and keep up to date.
Yeah, for the new forms, you actually have a client that would be legacy form. It's taking about 5 seconds for the form to come up. With SP1, the load time is just shy under 2 seconds. So literally improved by 100%. Cut our loading time by half.
Well, that's great. I know there's been a lot of discussion in the communities and on the various forums and websites about the new form rendering engine, so I'm really glad to see that out there as well. Anything we can do to improve performance, even if it's, you know, to move things from, you know, 2 seconds to 1 second, it's all good. So a couple of other things, too, that I wanted to dig into a little bit, and Alex, I was really glad to hear that you did a session on the server-side synchronization, because I was really interested in talking about the sync folder, and I also want to touch on the new mobile application. So I'm hoping you guys have had a chance to try out the mobile application, and we can talk a little bit about the changes there, because I think that they're pretty exciting. Yeah, so as you, Alex, as you were poking around the server-side synchronization and delving into that those sync folder options, do you have any tips and tricks for us, or any particular use cases that you think that you know are really going to benefit from that feature?
Sure. Yeah. So we have a couple. In fact, we have two clients now actually using the folder tracking. So it does require server-side sync. So you do have to have server-side sync, Exchange Online, and is configurable on a per-user basis. So the use case would be if I'm working on a big project and we know and I know I want to track a number of emails against project ABC. I can literally go into CRM Online, options, email, folder tracking, and specify a rule. Say, hey, anything in this folder, go ahead and track in CRM against this account or this project or this opportunity. I can create up to 20 some of these rules. Now, these rules are created on a user-by-user basis. Out of the box, there's no central mechanism for automatically creating the rules for everybody, but there is an SDK. So for large implementations, let's say there's a multi-year project, you know, there are teams of dozens of people working on a project, we can roll out the rules programmatically via the SDK. And it's pretty easy to use. You literally create a new folder in your inbox, create the rules, save it. Within a couple minutes, it's now live. One tip I found in testing, the various scenarios, if you enable and test your mailbox, it kind of forces a start. So instead of waiting for the normal sync cycle to occur, if you wanted to force it to happen right away, simply enable and test your mailbox. Even if it's already enabled, simply go in, enable test, and this sync is going to run. Along with that, if there's any kind of glitch, we can now download some raw log files. Again, in the mailbox entity, there is a, near the top, they didn't call it a log file. They called it, I believe, mailbox information. But it's literally information about your mailbox, any errors you may have received behind the scenes, the next sync time, some pretty neat stuff. But it's very easy to work with and very usable.
That's great. So how about the mobile application, guys? Have you had an opportunity to try that out? And if so, what do you like about it? I know also that Microsoft has now released an SDK for the mobile application too. So, Chan, I don't know if you've had any opportunity, or Chris, your team, or Alex, to take a look at that and delve into that.
Not me yet. I've been watching it and quite happy that the ability to have web resources and a few other things are coming along online too, and that they've got a good documentation, a good effort to align the mobile with Azure and to build the line of business stuff as well. And based on that, my summer plan here is to also do that with our portal framework. So you can build in parallel in with Microsoft where they build internet or field service applications. I want to build the customer facing applications and add that onto the framework in parallel there so that people can do the same thing on either one. And those are for building dedicated mobile apps. But I definitely do like that the more and more we can get a great offline story with the mobile app, and we can now start to use more complicated or complex, not complicated, but complex UIs in those mobile apps as well.
Yeah, Donna, and we're always looking at the different technology there as far as the mobile releases and what we can do as far as extending it. So the SDK is certainly welcome news. To provide us a platform that we can build our XRM applications out, do things like kiosk type applications from the mobile SDK, use that capability, feeding it with a CRM backend. That does answer a lot of companies' development plans as far as around mobile, how to deploy these things. So we're certainly looking at using them. I don't have any production customers working with the mobile app today, but obviously some are, on the heels of going live, right? And you got to remember that with the spring release and the announcement being in May, we're still really early as far as the adoption curve and the users who are on it and actively doing it. But I think, some of the features, obviously having the integration with Yammer, the custom editization and the editor for that, the ability to see system settings now, There's a lot of new little things that you couldn't do in the past. The offline capabilities and the ability to have that automatically sync when you come back in, those are all, you know, welcomed.
And case management's huge as well, right? Now we can have case management on the mobile device, right? So that's great. That's good stuff. They really, Microsoft has really introduced a lot of great changes with the mobile application. I don't know about the rest of you, but in just about every project that I work in, clients are very focused on what they can do on their mobile devices. It comes up in every project and they want to understand the details. So I think this move with the product to this, you know, kind of concept of a ubiquitous device scenario is a good move. And it's going to help. Yep.
So, Donna, there may be a lot of people that are on older versions of CRM, either on-premise or even online, and haven't had the opportunity to see the new version of CRM. So maybe you want to comment on how they can get a preview of the new version.
Hey, Shan, since we're on that subject, I'm going to let you take it away and tell us how to make that happen.
So the interesting part I found of the Microsoft rollouts is they want to sort of gradually roll things out. So they have their obviously the people that are in the preview are testing it while it's still being built, and those are the ones that are right on that bleeding edge. They get the first version of that and throughout the program, but also then right after that they have an early release program for production customers that go up, and right now that's what they're in. But before they start to roll it out to the masses, one of the things that they do is they allow new trials. So if you go to the CRM Online's website and then you sign up for a new trial, you get a new version of CRM. And so right now, if you are using just CRM on-prem, or if you're using an older version of CRM Online and haven't scheduled your update, or you know, it's just not ready to go up there yet because it hasn't been deployed to all data centers yet for an upgraded customer upgrade, just go spin up a new trial and take a look at what's in there, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. The other thing that's actually changed on the upgrade rollup in particular, there's been a lot of changes that have been happening in CRM Online, including the instance management. We could maybe go into that a little bit later, but the one thing that's changing with this one and the versions of the upgrades are that they're no longer mandating that you have to upgrade on their time schedule. They're letting you schedule when you're going to upgrade, and they are not going to upgrade it until you consent to that upgrade. So it's a little closer towards the end goal of having a customer on demand where the customer just picks and can go and do it instantly. But they're definitely moving towards that. But at least now you can pick when you do your upgrade, and it's not going to upgrade behind the scenes without you knowing. So it should be better that way.
Yeah. Hey, Donna, another thing about the mobile device is the ability to implement what they call the good technology mobile security platform. You can actually secure your mobile devices now. So a lot of companies are worried about, hey, someone loses their mobile device or their iPad and all their credentials are on there. What am I going to do? How am I going to deal with it? Well, now, as long as you have that, there's an integration for it. So it's called good technology. And it really is called good technology. It's not a joke. That's what the mobile security platform. I believe that their link is, www.good.com. And that'll give you a little idea about the app and how it works. But to Shan's point, you can set these things up in CRM Online. You can test these different browsers, your tablets, et cetera. You can see how the app's going to run way before you might deploy it online or on-premise. I've got some on-premise customers who are very excited about the online changes and are really biting at the bit here to get them in December. So we're encouraging them to go out, use the trials, use those environments to figure out what's going to have to change in their environments today, test their mobile solutions, those kind of things. That way they're going to have a nice roadmap by the time that software is ready to go live, and through the beta and tap programs, they're going to be one of the leading bleeding edge customers on it.
Yep, all good points. And Shan, I'm really glad that you brought up those customer-driven updates, because I know that there's been a lot of discussions in some of the forums about, hey, you know, CRM 2015 7.1 has been released. I'm CRM Online. I don't have it. I haven't seen anything, any announcements about it or any ability to, you know, get it, what's going on with that. And as you said, you know, Microsoft is in the process of getting ready to roll that out here in the not too distant future to to all the CRM Online users, but right now it's rolled out to a select number. So
maybe it might be good for us to give them an idea of the process that they should expect.
I think that's a good thing to do.
So the first thing you're going to see is an email that'll come to your system administrators, and that'll tell you of all the new exciting features that they've got, and link to a video and more details, and the availability of the new version within your data center. And it'll have a link and tell you and instruct you to go to the Office portal and go to the Instance Manager and take a look at the updates that are available. So at that point in time, the Instance Manager, you'll be able to see that there's an update, and you'll be able to pick from there the scheduled dates as to when it's going to be deployed. Okay. And then after it's been scheduled, you have to actually approve it.
Okay.
So once you approve the update, then you can count on that upgrade is going to happen at that point in time. So first of all, you just watch for that email and watch the videos and prepare and then do that. I would highly recommend people get a sandbox as soon as they can and start to test some of these things out in sandboxes as well. I found with the sandbox, I could literally copy my production org over to a sandbox, which is validated for the new preview or the new version. And then I could actually upgrade the version and see what my application was after an upgrade. And I did that two or three times during the preview program just to test the upgrade experience, to make sure that solutions are going to be upgradable after upgrade, and to test the difference between a new instance and an upgraded instance. And it was quite useful to be able to do that.
That's a really good point. I know in the past when we've spoken to people about, you know, what's the best upgrade path to take, we've always said, you know, set up your on-premise sandboxes and test things out. Well, now we have this great platform called CRM Online, right? So people can leverage that as part of their testing and upgrade preparedness. We do have a couple of audience questions, so let me get to one of those. Alex, unless you had anything you wanted to share on the things that we've talked about.
Yeah, no, pretty much I agree with you guys. Sandboxes are really, really helpful, really neat. It is something that we try actually teaching a lot of our mid-large clients. If you have the sandbox, use it. It's going to save headaches, and you can see what it's going to look like before the actual upgrade. Yeah, very helpful.
Great stuff. So David would like to know, do we have any recommendations for backing up a hosted CRM? So that can be a little bit of a challenge, right? Because they might not always have access to those environments.
Yeah. You see, hosted is in with a Splot partner or online?
I'm assuming you mean online. I think we can cover both. You know, let's speak to both.
Sure. Okay. So for online, they have the capability to request a backup. So you can request a backup and have that database provided down to you as one method. Another method is to use a service like Scribe Replication Services, which will actually, you can set up, it's a cloud-based software that will point to a SQL Server and replicate your data down there. That's another way that you can do it. There's a CRM instance adapter that you can use, and you can use that to pull data down to another SQL Server as well, or an Azure Cloud instance, etc. There's also the toolkits that we know, like Daniel Kai's, etc., where you can set them up to extract data and pull it down. If you're in a hosted data center and you're using something like SQL 2012 Always On capability, you can actually set up a SQL Always On instance and just replicate the read-only instance to an on-premise server and use that for reporting or backup purposes and things like that. Again, it's a SQL database. The backup technologies that you use in place for that can be used. But there's obviously different ways to handle it, whether you're on a web-based service or a on-premise or hosted solution.
I'm going to let you add to that in just a second. But one thing to keep in mind when you're doing those data backups, right? So when you're in a hosted environment, you're not getting the full database. So you want to ensure that you take the data backups, but you also, you know, take the exports of your solutions.
So to add also to what Chris was saying is when you request the backups, it's not a service today that is meant for you to do your data archiving and all that kind of stuff. It's really shaped as a service that you can migrate from online to an on-prem deployment. and they're only going to let you do that two or three times. So it's a you can do it in support if you really absolutely need to do it to isolate an issue, but it's not something you're going to allow you to get away with asking the SAE to do on a weekly basis. But the good news is they've announced this spring as well. It didn't hit the spring wave, but it's coming out later in the summer. Is a backup capabilities in the Instance Manager. So that allows you to trigger your own backups and restore manually. Because right now, if they're doing backups behind the scenes, and if something goes wrong, you can do a restore, and you can even with support do a point in time restore. But now with the new Instance Manager stuff, which isn't there yet, but it's going to be there shortly, you can actually trigger a backup and trigger a restore. But not only just one or two instances, you can actually now, as a destination, put it into your Azure Blob Storage, which allows you to have a full SQL backup in your Azure Blob Storage, and you can download that to your on-prem and put that into your data vault.
That's amazing stuff. That I know is going to be really well received in the public domain.
Yeah, and Donna, you mentioned also, you know, not forget about solutions, but source control, right? TFS, making sure your solutions are exported, having copies of them. I know Shan can go on for hours on their unmanaged and managed solution changes as far as what's going on there, but we see more and more people forget about it, you know. And it's not just their internal development, but they're working with third-party companies, other people who are writing code for them, and they go live, and they're all happy, and they pay the bill, and they forget their code. So you got to have your code with you. It's something that you need in case of an issue. You need a way to troubleshoot it. So you need to make sure it's embedded in your change control process.
And actually, I'll second that 100%. It's amazing the number of folks that we have encountered who have lost their source code. Either somebody left the company or was not a partner a long time ago, or somebody who switched roles and now they don't know where the source code is at. But yeah, we encounter quite a bit of that. Folks that back up their database, but lose the source code.
And it's not just the source code. I've seen so many people lose their unmanaged solution files and their unmanaged instance that goes with that. So all they have is a managed solution, and they can't go back to supporting it.
Yep.
So because the unmanaged solution file is like the source code for your CRM solutions.
Great. All great stuff. I'm sure that... that gave David a lot of ideas to think about. So thanks for sharing all of that information. We have one other question now regarding the new Turbo form, which we're not really supposed to use that term. It's really the new form rendering engine, but a lot of people really like the term Turbo form.
Spring waveform.
The only challenge with it is people go looking around in the system for it and trying to find the place to turn it on. So with regard to that new form rendering engine, this individual would like to know if they're still loaded async with regard to scripts and possibly out of order. Or are the scripts loaded in the order they were added to the form? Is anybody aware of whether or not there have been any changes with respect to how scripts are loaded in the form rendering engine, the new form rendering engine?
Well, I know we had the conversation with Anusha Shan, but I'm going to say that she said it was based on how they're in the actual order that you add them to the form. It would go through the order and execute it in that order. But we've all seen different occurrences of it behaving outside that realm. I don't know if that's been fixed in 2015. Shan, have you seen it at all?
Well, it's also changed a lot because they don't just load a whole page like they used to. And there's a lot of pieces on those pages that are reused again. So as you go from record to record, it's actually not loading the entire page. There's a lot more iframes on that page, and it changes the scope of your page. And one of the bugs that I had when we were using a sort of a JavaScript library for a message bus, so we can pass information from in a supported way between one control or one web resource control to another web resource control, and to implement some form of caching on that page between them all. We found that depending upon how we dispose and reuse and
and isolate those environments. Sometimes we had an error because can't execute code from a freed script. So you gotta, you know, gotta be cautious as to how you use the script and what you can do, knowing that, you know, they've done a lot of work there to make sure that those forms are really high performance and they don't reinitialize and re-download every time. So test carefully. And if you do, if in doubt, what you do is you go back to systems settings and you turn legacy form mode back on, and then you're no longer using Turbo Forms. You have to dump your browser cache and reset. It's probably better just to close your browser completely and restart again. You'll be back in legacy mode. And so if you do have problems with scripts, test with Turbo Forms on and off, but always turn it back on when you're done, unless you have a significant issue. If you do have an issue, make sure you fix it quickly, because it does make a performance difference, and it's on for all of CRM, not just for one form. So it's all on or all off. So you definitely want it all on.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get some further clarification and then tweet it out in the next couple of days.
That's a good idea, Chris.
Yeah, that's great now. Blog fodder, right? So yeah. Should be seeing some blog articles on that.
And one item to keep aware, if you flip in system settings, turn the legacy forms on and then back off, if you don't clear your cache, there might be unintended consequences. We had a couple scenarios that we were seeing kind of, a couple of bizarre things, and it ended up being we had parts of the new forms, and then we had flipped to the legacy forms. So highly recommend not doing that in a production environment, but a pre-production or testing. And then deciding, hey, can we go live with the new forms?
That's great advice. And just so everybody's clear, the way that you turn on the form rendering, the new form rendering, is by actually unchecking the box. And I believe by default, the box is unchecked. And if you want to go back to the legacy form loading, then you would actually have to check the box.
Yep, exactly.
Shan, did you have something you wanted to share on that, or?
Nope. I'm good.
Okay, great. Well, there are a couple of things that have been features that have been added in this release that really improve.
Did we lose Donna?
Lost Donna. She says she lost a feed.
At least she knows.
Well, a couple of features that improved. I don't know. We'll take a guess.
Usability?
Not everyone may be on CRM 2015 and just looking for the spring wave. There might be a lot of people that are on CRM 2013 or 2011. So maybe while we're waiting for Donna to go, what are some of the other recent features in the last year, let's say, that are important to you?
Well, again, being able to update to SQL 2014 has been a big one. People wanting to move forward to the new technology. So that's one feature that the platform is now supporting. The enhancements to server-side sync is another. Again, the update roll-ups and the, we didn't even talk about table merge, Shan.
Table merge.
And that's a big one, in the older systems, we had our extension base and our regular base tables for your entities, and now a part of 2013, once you go past SP1, your tables will be merged. You can select that during the upgrade, and what that does is it will put your two tables into one, and from all the CRM Online users, they had noticed some issues with the joins there and some performance, so that also increases performance, but if you didn't follow the rules and use your filtered views and did direct table access, you're going to have some problems with some of your code, but there's been some nice performance increases with that as well.
There's two big things for that is the performance increases and a lot less locking issues at SQL level, which was huge.
Yeah. You got anything in it, Alex?
No, but it's for the folks that have a large database, that is an operation that does take quite a while. So if we have 100 gigs or in a very large database, we have full control if we merge the tables right away or upgrade to 2013 and then later on merge entity by entity or in chunks. So that's kind of a nice bonus that we can upgrade quick and then later on do these operations that are very time consuming.
Yep, so and that'll take you until you get to SP1 where you have to have it done by then. So, yeah. But again, it's something that's well worked enhancement and, to Shan's point and Alex's point, it's the evolving of the platform, and Microsoft's been doing more and more items like this, really thinking out, giving you the time to be able to do the merge instead of having to wait for your system to come back up online. That's huge. And then it also allows you to postpone the merge so you can fix those reports that might not be talking to the right views and the right tables, et cetera, so you don't have to worry about loss. But make sure you use filtered views when writing those reports.
So one of the other features that I liked that came up as well is the server-side rules, being able to have the rules implemented in the server. So it doesn't matter if your data came in from an import, an SDK call, the web client, or some other portal or something like that. You define your business rules once, and it just would apply to your data. And I wrote a lot less code and did a lot more configuration as a result. And anytime we can do more configuration and less code, it's better for customers.
Yeah, that's a good. Isn't that a good point? I mean, because that's really where we're going, right? You had we used to do a ton of JScript. Now you got the business rules, right? We used to have problems with different plugins, and now the capabilities of that is all available to do those features like auditing and things like that in the app. Mm-hmm. The field level security, all of the pieces that we used to struggle with, they're at our fingertips. We've come a real long way with this application and the changes that have been here. And, I don't think that, you can sit here and talk, and I'm sure Alex, me, Shan, and Donna, there's so many new things that come up that you just can't experience them all. And that's why, working with the user bases and getting asked the questions and being able to say, hey, there's this new feature that came out and things like that, it's a great way for all of us to learn together.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, can you hear me now?
We can.
Hey, welcome back.
Oh, great. I don't know, Skype, it must have been a feature of Skype. I don't know. My entire Skype system just crashed, which is kind of interesting because I've been on the sessions for the last 3 hours, and that was the first time I experienced that. So, of course, that's going to happen during our session. But it's all good.
That's the lunch feature from 9 to 12. At 3 hours, it breaks off. So you can get your lunch time and then kick back in again.
That's the joys of being live, right?
So, okay. Donna, while you were out, we were talking about some 2013 changes as well. Since 2013, we don't know if everybody on the calls is online or on-premise, so we wanted to try to do both. Was wondering if you saw any other questions come in on the feed or you didn't get anything else?
I haven't seen any questions on that coming through yet, but what I wanted to do was jump back to what I was going to talk about when Skype shut me down. And that is the direction that I'm getting the sense that Microsoft is going with group collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. So we're seeing some things like the OneNote integration, which I think is huge, and is going to get used a lot now. And also the groups, the Office 365 groups, and the ability now to integrate all of that with CRM. So I'm really interested in, if you're hearing a lot of clients speak about those features and those items. And I see a lot of use cases and a lot of clients that are really going to clamor to these new collaboration tools. I know I've already started using them. We've set up some Office 365 groups, and we're going to integrate those now with CRM. And, of course, I did the blog post on the OneNote integration. So this whole change and kind of move to these new collaboration tools I find really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. When you start off and you look at the Office changes and the capabilities to – how many times have you gone to file to find the last folder and the item that you used? And now you have the capabilities where that you open up a Word or Excel document, whether it's in OneNote, OneDrive, wherever it may be, SharePoint, it knows where it is, and then I can take it and share it with Shan or Donna, and it'll give them the actual rights to the directory where it may be housed so they can actually use it at a click of a button. I mean, those things plus the OneNote type of integration, the sharing capability of that. You know, we use OneNote a lot in-house. A lot of people, you know, don't even realize that, you know, where OneNote came from. What is it? You know, it was included in the Office suite for a while. I use a thing called Office Lens, which also integrates into OneNote, which allows you to take pictures of whiteboards and convert them into graphics. You know, you can attach those to cases as well. So yes, the collaboration, and the, you know, I think this is, you know, Microsoft CEO, Satya's, his really vision, right, is there should be no barriers between these apps. They own them all. They should talk together. They should work natively together. And I think we're really seeing that today.
And don't forget about like Delve and Power BI as well, and Office, yeah. Web Access. It's the amount of integration that Microsoft CRM has done with the rest of the Microsoft stack is just it's mind blowing. And you know, a lot of people were a little worried when Satya was up on stage with Salesforce and integrating, or, you know, announcing some integration capabilities. But the CRM team really had a powerful response to that, and they did it by, you know, shipping great features and huge, very valuable integration capabilities with the Office stack, and I'm quite happy to see that the CRM team pulled that off quite successfully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to be seeing more and more of that, more and more of this, and other native integration that actually works well, and the user doesn't think they're, you know, they click on a OneNote and, you know, it's seamless. The fact that OneNote opens up, they can, you know, save additional information, and it's saved in there without, you know, file save as, etc. But I'm definitely worried the not only CRM, but all the Office-related apps are heading.
I agree, and it's really great, all the improvements that we have just in configuring. I remember when SharePoint Online and CRM Online first had an integration story way back when, just a couple of short years ago, right? And we had to download the list component, and you know, it took about 30 minutes to get through the configuration process. I went through the configuration process for OneNote, and of course that leverages SharePoint Online as well, and it was all wizard driven, and I think you can probably get through the process in about 5 to 10 minutes. So not only is the integration seamless, but the setup and configuration is incredibly smooth and easy, and I didn't run into any issues at all.
Yeah, and again, that's a testament to the work. And then let's not forget linking all that stuff into the 365 portal, right? So it's all at your fingertips. You can use that as your interface for whether you're doing sandboxing, whether you're touching SharePoint, soon coming Parachair. I mean, all of those items being available right from the portal is just amazing.
Yep, these features are really going to make people a lot more productive, and they're going to be able to get their jobs done quicker, be more responsive, and be able to, I think you're going to see significantly improved end-user adoption as well. So we're down to the end of the hour, guys. I know there's some great things coming from Microsoft, and I just would like to know what those things are that, not that we're committing that Microsoft is going to deliver them, but what are the things on your mind that you're looking forward to seeing in the product?
Are you trying to get us to break NDA again?
No, absolutely. I do not want you to speak to any.
I've already spoke to mine, the one that I'm losing sleep at night just waiting for, and that's the XRM platform.
Yeah, I'll second the XRM too. It's something that, fresh for a while, we're calling CRM XRM. And we really wanted that some name to stick, because it is an XRM platform. So I am very, very excited about that.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't disagree with them, but just to be different, I'm going to go down the data path. And all the social analytics, the engagement, the Power BI, and what we're able to see here with the, you know, Azure Machine Language and the interactive intelligence, looking at cases, taking action on things on your behalf based on historical patterns and trends. I think, you know, when Satya showed some of that stuff at Convergence and where we were headed, I think it's just exciting, right? It's a lot of good things that if it does come to fruition and we are able to leverage those technologies, you know, we can do so much more in all different aspects of our business, whether it's ISV, public sector, government, those technologies, and be able to predict, you know, hey, this is what happened, or, you know, you need to sell this or think. I mean, it's just amazing to see those technologies and that they're actually working, and then have them integrated in together and be able to have them where that you buy them at a per dollar per month price is mind-boggling.
It's all great stuff. And of course, me, it's all about collaboration in the community. So I love the whole story around Delve and Office 365 groups and in our ability to collaborate real time and the social engagement and Parature integration, being able to respond to your clients and customers. So it's really, it's great times for the Dynamic CRM product. Guys, I want to thank you so much. It's always great to share these panel discussions with you. You have a lot of great knowledge to share. And Chris, Shan, and Alex, I look forward to doing this again in the very near future.
Thanks for having us, Mom.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a great evening, everybody.